that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. If any man see his brother sinning sin, not unto death, he shall ask, and he will give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is sin unto death. Not concerning this do I say that he should make request. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not unto death. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all things thou dost tell us in thy word. The things that bring joy, the things that bring sadness as well. Those that speak of hope, and those portions that speak of hopelessness as well. And so forth, the portion that we have read tonight, teach us from it as you have taught us from other sunnier passages. Help us tonight, we pray. Thou dost know what's necessary. Impart that help to us. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. First, some preliminary remarks. I would not be able to teach you in 23 minutes what I want to teach you unless I had been teaching you the structure and the definite interpretation of John's epistle for 8 weeks now. But I am assuming that a foundation has been laid and you remember some of the things that I've told you. For that reason, I won't have to go into so much explanation. I'll be able to mention things and just briefly recall what I said to you and then go on from there. Because if not, it would be impossible. I'll tell you what I can in the time allotted. All right. This portion that we are considering tonight is about the sin unto death. And if you accept that statement, you've started off on the wrong foot. There is no such thing as the sin unto death. The definite article isn't contained in those verses. If any man see his brother sinning, sin not unto death. There is sin unto death. I'm trying to clear your mind, because most of us come to a passage like that and we say, I shall have this opinion of it. This is my interpretation. Or I like Brother Jones' interpretation of the passage. That is worthless, absolutely worthless, and that's why there are so many misunderstandings and so many opinions about the Word of God. God does not allow me to have any opinion about something unless the Word itself permits an opinion. And then it's not an opinion, but it's a persuasion. For that reason, listen to exactly what the portion says, and immediately many of the things that you've heard about it, all of the mystery that surrounds it, will be removed, and you will keep yourselves in the confines of these verses, and you'll be able to come to a God-given interpretation. Go outside the confines of these verses, and you will come up with any interpretation. Now, you have an advantage from 7 weeks of things I've been telling you. All right. Listen to it again. It says, if any man see his brother sinning sin not unto death. Now, immediately, this eliminates several interpretations that I've heard before. Perhaps some of you hold different interpretations. It makes no difference. I'm just telling you what we are shut up to according to what we have here. Notice, it says, if any man see his brother sinning sin. We are in the family of God. You understand? If you see your brother sinning, then it is brother seeing his brother sin. It is not you seeing a sinner sin and you pray for his salvation. If any man see his brother sinning sin, not unto death. You understand? You cannot go outside the family of God. It's a brother seeing brother sin, sin. next is this. It is nothing that you have heard that a brother did. It is nothing you suspect a brother did. It is something you have seen a brother do. You understand? If any man see his brother sinning sin. And so if you come to me with a report about somebody and I say, this brother has committed this sin, speculation. It is not conjecture. It is not suspicion. It is not hearsay. But it is an actual witness of a sinner sinning sin. And in this instance, he is a brother. And if I had time, but I do not, I see then that brothers do sin. I cannot give you the other verses at this time. You have to rely upon what I told you in past weeks. Here is a brother sinning sin. All right. Having said that, you have to ask yourself this question. Well, he's sinning sin not unto death, and it speaks about there is sin unto death. Therefore, brothers can sin sins not unto death, and can sin sins unto death. For that reason, you have to interpret whether the death that is spoken here is physical or spiritual, and whether the life that is spoken of here is physical or spiritual. And I can tell you without equivocation what it is in a few minutes. But I venture to say that you have never found why it is indisputable as to whether it's death and life in a physical or a spiritual sense, because you haven't looked up 49 references. How many of you have ever looked up 49 references to life and death? Every one in John's Gospel and in his epistle, and yet we will come and speak on it without seeing what God said about it. But I have to go on from that. Now, you have to ascertain this. What is so interesting is that it says there is sin not unto death, correct? Yes. And there is sin unto death, correct? Well then, we ought to pray for the brother sinning sin not unto death. And when we pray for him, he gets life. Isn't that funny? You understand what I've said? There is sin unto death, and he's not committed sin unto death, but we pray for him, and God gives us life for them that sin not unto death. Keep that in mind. Ever so many things I want to tell you, but I can only tell you these things. And so we have to go about interpreting the passage by doing some groundwork. And ever so much of the work that we do is not that we might say things, but that we might refrain from saying things. And so here is what I see. That John is not talking about what Paul talks about, prayer for all men, for kings and all that are in high place. No, we're to pray for them, but not in 1 John 5. But it is someone who is named a child of God. If you see your brother sinning sin unto death, not unto death, one of the two. The next question arises is this. Well then, is it possible for a brother to sin a sin unto death? And is this death that's spoken of physical or spiritual death? Now, there are many things I'm not telling you. I have to tell you these things because eventually you must learn how to study the Scripture from the Scripture itself. And so you cannot just come up and say, well, death means this and life means this and this brother means that. All right. I'm going to show you one thing, not because I have to have this for my interpretation, but because I've seen it from what I've taught you in past weeks. It says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. He that hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. When John uses the word brother, does it always mean a true brother, or is it someone that simply takes the name of a brother and is associated with the family of God? You say, it's evident. You've read it to me. If you hate your brother, then you are a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Then, you say, then the brother can be true or false. And therefore, when it speaks of brothers, it simply means not one on the outside, but one that has gotten on the inside, that has taken the place of a child of God. You understand? Now, John himself has told us that. I did not tell you. John has told you. And therefore, if a man hate his brother, the one that's doing the hating is not a brother at all. And yet, he is one who has taken his place in the family of God. And that is without equivocation, because John says, no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And you argue with that? You say no. There are true brethren and there are false brethren, and John tells us about these false brethren. And I told you, from consistently interpreting John's epistle, the 7 times that we read, if a man say, he that saith, all of those that make these professions are those that are liars and are false brethren. Keep that in mind. I told you this. If, and we're not going to say for sure what it is now, let's just say that this is spiritual death, and that this is a true brother, then it's possible for a true brother to commit sin unto death and to lose his salvation. Do not start shaking your head and say, no, it's all right if you have determined elsewhere that it is true, but at least allow God's word to put that suggestion in your mind until you set it aside from God's word itself. But I've shown you from those 23 reasons that the true child of God is going to realize every expectation that John set forth in his epistle. You see, I can't go over that again. Think of all the time I would take if I had to give you 8 weeks to back these things up. But I've shown you, once you are a true child of God, there is no doubt about your realizing all that John expects of you. And therefore, no true brother is possible. It is impossible for any true brother to commit a sin unto death, if this death is spiritual death. Because John teaches that we pass from death unto life. He tells us that everything that God has given us is assured and all is settled. That's all I can tell you about that now. And so we have to set that aside. Keeping these things in mind, let's ascertain now whether the death and the life that John is speaking of here is physical death or is spiritual death. And it's amazing how simple the true interpretation of this passage is. And I've read competent man after man that gives an interpretation, listen to me, a correct Bible interpretation of Paul, but a wrong interpretation of John. I've warned you of that in past weeks. There is such a thing as carnal Christians, and Paul tells us about them in Romans chapter 7. But John isn't talking about carnal Christians. He's talking about light and darkness. Now, in like manner, there is such a thing, and Paul teaches it, about Christians sinning and experiencing physical death. All you have to do is to read 1 Corinthians 11. Because of their reverence at the Lord's Supper, some were weak and some were sickly and some sleep, some were dead. That's the teaching of the Word of God. And because of that, what we do is to read into 1 John 5, 1 Corinthians 11. But that would be offensive to John. He would say, Paul is excellent, but let me tell you what I want to tell you. Now let me ask you a question to prepare the way for what I want to tell you. Suppose you had looked up the 36 occurrences of the word Zoe, life, in the Gospel of John, and the 13 occurrences of the word Zoe in the Epistle of John. And in 48 out of the 49, life was always spiritual life. What do you think that conceivably the 49th one might be? You say, spiritual life? Why, of course. It's the same way when I come to the word leaven. You look all through the scripture, and whenever it is used figuratively, without one variation in the passages that we are able to interpret, without one variation, leaven is always depicted as something that is evil. And we come to Matthew 13, and competent men will interpret it as something good. Well, now, in like manner, when you get to the word Zoe, and I can show you 48 times, and all you have to do is together a concordance of the original and sit down and read them, and you will see, listen, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. What is that? You say that's spiritual life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. What is that, you say? Why, it's spiritual life. And 48 of them are just like that. And so we've come to the 49th one in 1 John 5. It says, whoso seeth his brother sinning sin, not unto death, he shall ask, and God will give life. Now, if you want to, if you want to say 48 times, yes, but here I'm going to make it not spiritual, but I'm going to make it physical death, you may do that. But if you do so, you do it against all logic. You do it against 48 of the 49 examples that John has given. And I would ask, why, if you have read 48 times the way he interprets a word, would you look at the 49th and forget what he had said 48 times? You understand? And so for that reason, because of what John has told me 48 times, I'm going to say, John, you're not going to lead me astray the 49th time. I'm going to take it the 49th time the way that you pass from death unto life. I'm going to take it spiritual. If that is so, then what we have is this. If any man see his brother sinning sin, not unto death, he shall ask, and God will give life to them that sin not unto death. There is sin unto death. And let me tell you this. Sin not unto death is mentioned 3 times. Sin unto death is mentioned 1 in the whole Bible, and yet we build up a great doctrine about sin unto death, or as they say, the sin unto death, which is not in the Scripture, and then we wonder why we go astray. He says 3 times, sin not unto death, sin not unto death, sin not unto death. But there is such a thing as sin unto death. And he says that one that has the name of brother can commit that sin unto death. And I take it that this brother that commits the sin unto death, which we must interpret as he does with life, as spiritual death, is that same kind of brother that hates his brother, who is a murderer, and no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so we find that here is one who is a true brother. He sins, but the sins that he commits are sins not unto death. And all of you do it. Every day you commit sins, not unto death. But I give you this assurance. If you have genuinely been born again, it is impossible for you to commit what John is speaking of here as this sin unto death. Because I've shown you that as it states that we have to overcome, it tells us 3 times that we have already overcome. It's something that's past. It is accomplished. It is presupposed. And John never think about you. But I told you this. I'll never finish, but I must tell you what I can. Look, we found in chapter 2 about some that were with the saints. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out, that it might be made manifest that they are not all of us. Tell me, if you go out from a group of Christians, you must first have been with the group of Christians. Do you understand? They went out from us. Therefore, at one time, they were with them. Here are some in 1 John chapter 5 that have not as yet gone out. Why? Because I'm looking at context. If any man see his brother sinning sin. And so here is one, and we are talking about now the one that sins sin unto death. He is still among them. And we are looking at him. And we observe that he is different from the others that sin not unto death. Because when they come among you, they stay for a while, like those in John chapter 6. They hear the Savior speak, and the Savior continues to speak. They murmur, they complain, and finally it says, at this saying, they went away and walked no more with Jesus. But they were with him for a while until he said so much. And in like manner, they went out from us, but they were with the true saints for a given period of time until something drove them out. And so here are 2 classes. There are Christians who sin, but the sins that they commit are sins not unto death. And here are those that are professing brethren, and they commit sins unto death. All right, I'll have to abbreviate it this way. It is not any particular sin. It is not an act of sin, because I interpret this present participle as something that is continual. It is not one little thing that they did, and that exposed it. But it says, if anyone see his brother sinning sin, it is something that they have been engaged in over a period of time. It is not a passing thing that they have repented of. It is something that has been observed. They are sinning sin. And then it says, there is sin unto death. Now, if it is your brother who has sinned, that is a true brother. You pray for him, and God will give life to them that sin not unto death. But it speaks about one who sins sin unto death. And it says, not concerning this do I say that he should make request. Why? Because sin unto death is this. Now listen. What he is speaking of here, and this will stand up, you try to refute it over the next time until you see it. It is this. Sin unto death that John is speaking of here is an absolute and unalterable rejection of all that was once held sacred concerning God's incarnate Son, Jesus Christ the Savior. You might not know how much is in that sentence, but if you have studied it out, that will stand up against any attack that you give me against this sin unto death. Anything else you bring to me, I have tested it, and I can knock it over. I can knock it over from other portions of God's Word, but you can't knock over what I've told you in the context and in the confines of what John himself teaches. And so what must it be? It is this. It is not the sin against the Holy Ghost. You say, why? Listen, it says, if any man see his brother sinning, this man has made a profession of faith and has come among the family of God. Do you know what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is? They were the enemies of the Lord Jesus, who when the light was being shined upon them, they rejected the light. The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is never receiving the light in the first place. Can't you see that? And so how, if you have never received the light, can you take the place as a brother who believes? You say, you can't. It's not blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And the true Christian cannot blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. It is impossible. All right. If it is not that, then what is it? It can only be one other thing. And this professing children of God can do, and they do. It is apostasy. And I can show you that because Paul speaks of it, and Hebrews speaks of it, and John speaks of it, and all of them speak of it in the same way. Peter and Hebrews and John, they all speak of it in the same way. Notice, here is one that is a brother. He sins sin unto death. He proves himself to be like that brother that is a murderer with no life abiding in him. Hebrews 6 says this. It says that one who has been enlightened and then falls away. I'm abbreviating it. It is impossible to renew him again unto repentance. Why? Because he crucifies afresh the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, he is one who has been enlightened, and therefore he took his place among those to whom he writes in the Hebrews, and a brother sees his brother sinning. They have been enlightened, but then they fall away. It says, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. But the true brother, it says this about, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A true brother confesses and he is restored. But it says it is impossible to renew this one who was enlightened, but then he fell away. Listen to chapter 10. It says, concerning those who were once enlightened, concerning those who once knew the truth, I'm just bringing it into words that you can understand. And it says in chapter 10 that these two were like those who knew the truth, but then it says they do away with the truth. They trample underfoot the blood of the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and they do despite to the Spirit's grace. You see, all of them have professed to be brothers, but, now listen again, they profess to be that. But I said it is the absolute and unalterable rejection of all that was once held sacred concerning God's incarnate Son, Jesus Christ the Savior. And all of those words fall through. And you will find that Peter talks about the dog has returned to his vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And this is what John says. Those that profess, it says, they sin unto death. And you go through the epistle, and you will find that we who are true Christians, we have fellowship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. It says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have to confess that Jesus is the Christ. We have to confess that He is the Son of God. And so I pick out all of these things, and it says the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He is the propitiation for our sins. And so here are those who at one time profess this, but now, as in John chapter 6, they hear more, and they go back, and they walk no more with the Lord Jesus. They crucify afresh the Son of God, and do despite to the Spirit of grace. And so, among all the things that God has shut us up to, the only interpretation that it can be is the one that I've given you. Unless you can bring into John something that he didn't write, I can bring Paul into it, and it's quite true that Christians sin and they experience physical death. But according to the things that John has said, this isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about true and false brothers, and he knows that there are some, like Judas Iscariot, false ones, among the true. And then eventually, they also go out. Satan entered into his heart, and he says, he went out, and it was night. And this is what happened. They go along for a while. They're always with you. And let me just tell you this. Bear with me this long. You have seen them, and I've seen them. I'm thinking of three, and I remember Bill McDonald telling me this. He spoke of a boy that had gone to school where he taught. And he said, he has sinned, he is engaged in this and that. And he said, I can't bring myself to pray for him. Why? Because he saw what he was doing. And I've been to school with the same. And there is one fellow that I'm thinking of now that once preached in the pulpits around here. But then, one time, he was with me. I didn't understand it exactly then. But he started questioning me about the inerrancy of the Word of God. But all people ask questions like that. And then I found out that he had all of these excellent books about Christ and the teachings of the Scripture, and he was selling them. And then he divorced his wife, and he left, and now he's abandoned all the things that he once stood for. And I believe that he is one like unto that that John is speaking of. The things that he once held sacred and preached on, he has absolutely and unalterably rejected those things that he once held sacred. And it's impossible to renew him again. Why? Because it tells you in Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10 just why. And that's all that I can tell you. And so what is this sin unto death? It is what I've told you. Try to prove me wrong. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so thankful that we who in simple faith have trusted Christ have heard thy words. I write unto you, my little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. We are thankful, Father, that we who have by thy Spirit confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we shall never change our mind. We have been cleansed by his precious blood, shall never look to any other source cleansing. But our God, thou dost know that we have seen people in the past that have met with us and have preached to us, and the things that they once preached, their belief has changed, and their life has changed. Our God, we would not be afraid that we would do this, but we would be afraid that we could dishonor thee. And so, our Father, let our lives be like unto the life of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and let us be good testimonies. And while we know that we are saved, and let us not doubt our salvation, having trusted Christ, let us not believe every spirit, and let us not believe everyone who takes the name of brother. Thou hast shown us to give the test to give to those that take the name of brother. And so, lay these truths to our hearts, and help us by thy Spirit to interpret them, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.